Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I am your host, Denise Griffiths, and my mission each broadcast is to bring you the most interesting entrepreneurs and business people that I can find who are excited to freely share their business wisdom, tips, and actionable advice with us each week. Today I welcome to the show Jay Massey, who describes himself as an active real estate investorpreneur, love that, author, speaker, community leader, devoted father and husband, love that too. His is a true rags-to-riches story. In just 6 years, he went from the struggle that so many people experience as he worked hard to provide for his family in Southern California, which is a very it's an expensive place to live, trust me, to amassing an impressive portfolio that includes over 300 units of residential and commercial properties, as well as private notes and mortgages. Through a series of life-altering events, including the serious illness of his then-pregnant wife, an accident that left Jay with a punctured lung that prevented him from being able to work, and even losing and squatting in their foreclosed family home, he learned very, very quickly that he had to change his mindset if he wanted to not only survive, but to thrive. So he immediately took action, immersed himself into an intensive real estate investor training, and hasn't looked back. And he's built a booming investing business using very little of his own cash or credit. As part of the legacy Jay wants to leave his children, he began creating a training series that is now available to others so they can learn to do what he continues to do as an investor. And this ultimately led to a book project that is coming out soon, I believe. I'll ask him about the date, and a growing number of educational opportunities for those interested in all areas of real estate investing across age and other demographics. Jay currently functions as a landlord, a private lender, real estate investing consultant, investment manager, speaker, author, mentor, and community advocate. And let's not forget that he's a dedicated and passionate family man. Jay, good morning. Welcome to the show. Happy New Year, and I am excited to chat with you.
As am I. I'm excited just to be here. You got to attack life with a lot of energy, and I love waking up, getting to do what we do.
Mm-hmm. You and me both. In fact, I don't know that I ever really go to sleep enough to wake up. I suspect that you don't either.
Yes. My team often is like, wow, you are up at 2 in the morning. I'm like, was it 2? I didn't realize. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, my team is it's not uncommon for me to email them at 3:18. I don't know why 3:18. That's just when my brain comes back awake. And they'll say, they used to question it. Now they're like, got it. Okay. 3:18, I'm sending out emails, so look, I get it. Listen, tell people a little bit about yourself that I might not have covered, and then tell them where they can find you, and then I have a ton of questions for you.
Okay, sure, no problem. The easiest place to find me, I mean, most people are typically looking to learn to do what I do. It's learninvestingnow.com, simple, for those that are looking to learn what I do. But we have a couple of podcasts as well in iTunes. One is the daily podcast, Cashflow Diary Daily, and then the other one is for long-form instruction. So if you want to really get some deep nuggets, it's just Cashflow Diary. Both of them are there. So we're really, really easy to find, not trying to hide from anyone. And as far as the, you know, story goes, I guess the major thing to understand is that I was following what was common advice, go to school, get good grades, get a job, and it took me 26 years to learn that I wasn't a good employee, should have never been, and then B, I should have never gone to college. It took me a long time to figure out both of those things, you know. But once I did, I went on and became a financial planner. And if you get nothing else from anything that I say right now, please do this. Learn how to sell something. It is more important to have skill set the knowledge set in many cases, because knowledge can be hired inexpensively compared to skill set. And the most expensive skill set I have found today has been sales. But I became a financial planner for life insurance and related products and retirement plans. Lots of licenses that don't matter anymore. And what it came down to was I thought that was going to be how my wife and I were going to make it. And then she got sick. It's a condition known as hyperemesis. Most people have never heard of it unless you've had it or you're a doctor. And it just simply means she could not eat or drink while pregnant.
Oh, period. No. Oh, man.
Exactly.
And that's not good for the baby, is it? Or the mama.
It's not good for anybody. I mean, dad's stressing, mommy stressing, baby stressing. And what was worse is no one knew what was going on.
Right.
Because it was, it's not exactly the most common thing to happen. And during that time, when you're in that space, I can't go plan your financial future. So I wasn't actually working, and I was self-employed financial planner. You got to, you eat what you kill. You got to do it that way. And unfortunately, that wasn't I wasn't in the mental space to do so. So I started trying to sell our personal possessions on eBay, literally going in our closet and garage. And just so that everyone knows, you have at least $3,000 worth of stuff in your garage. I know this personally. What it comes down to is, you have to make a choice. And it got so bad one day I was just frustrated. I went to go play volleyball, and I jumped very high, and I tried to spike the ball, and I landed on a guy's head, punctured my lung. Now I can't walk or talk. My wife can't eat or drink, and aren't we an awesome pair? That's literally what's going down.
Ow.
And it's like, really? It could, and I've also learned, to never say, it can't get any worse, because it can.
Yeah, it can.
And
you can hit rock bottom, and then you can drill. You'll never forget that. You can keep on drilling. So
it's totally. It's like that drill bit just never breaks.
That's right.
Like, just keep going. And what ended up happening is, a friend of mine said, hey, you need real estate is going to be your way out. And I'm like, dude, I don't even know how I'm going to get in. My credit score is 398. I don't even have $75 I could put together. I can't eat today. Can you feed me? And long story short is, sometimes you get yourself in a place, and I had to learn something. I learned that my current situation was the result of my best thinking up to that point. And up to that point, my best thinking hadn't produced anything that I could be proud of. It was hard to look my wife in the face and say, for better or for worse, congratulations.
Right.
Aren't you glad you're married to me? We lost our primary residence on February 13th, 2008, which is interesting because I'm sure ladies remember that the day after February 13th is a special day. So that was my gift that year. It's been, an interesting ride since then. One of the things that I did is that I listened to those who were in a position of authority or that I was willing to follow, who had what I want and who were doing better than me. And I let go of all pretenses and I just did what I was told. And that resulted in 4 months of being able to get my first real estate transaction. By the end of my first 6 months after that, we were able to do a little over 24 transactions. In the next year, we did, I think, close to 70, somewhere between 70 and 90. I can't remember. It's been a while. And then, now we have a portfolio that goes across a number of different states. We just started working on some international development as well, and a couple commercial properties. And a whole bunch of quality, clean, safe, affordable apartment complexes.
Can I back up just a second? When you say you got your first transaction, that could sound like you went and got your real estate license and you went through all the little steps that realtors go to. That's not what you're referring to, is it?
No, not at all. I still don't have my real estate license. I don't intend to get them. In fact, I remember asking, I asked him, do I need a license? He's like, no. I was like, good, because had I needed a license to do it, I wouldn't have done it, because I didn't want another license.
Well, you wouldn't have the money, and it costs time and money to do that.
Exactly.
Okay, so you went out and you did this on your own. So basically, you just said, okay, I'm giving up. I'm not going to let my own brain get in the way. You know, I'm not going to be as smart as I think I am. And I'm going to actually take instruction from people who are doing this very, very well. Is that a fair assessment?
That's fair and accurate.
Okay, good. Okay, keep on going. You're doing great. Yeah. I'm fascinated.
So, yeah, but that's probably the most important thing is to understand is that most people, you know, we have this challenge, you know, is that what we want and our reality are too close together. And until one of the two get shaken up, either what we want or our reality, we don't experience enough pain to actually do the things that we are capable of in the first place. And that's probably one of the most humbling things is to realize that I've been capable of these types of results from day one. Just no one told me, no one gave me the shot, and no one said anything other than go to school, get good grades, and get a job. I didn't know there was another option.
Right, get married, have children, retire. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and oh, don't get me started on the whole retire thing because everyone's stuck on thinking that has to do with an age. Who said you had to wait?
Yeah, and that's not the end result.
65?
Right. And I don't know about you, Jay, but I don't want to retire. I plan on going to bed in my 90s or beyond and do what I do every night, which is say my prayers, turn over whatever niggling problem is bothering me to my subconscious for review, and then plot world domination all over again. And that's how I intend to go out. So
I like it. I like that.
I am not retiring ever.
I tried that. I tried that about 2 years ago. I literally did it. I was like, okay, cool. And here's what happened. I went on a cruise, and I was by myself. And then I came back home, and I was like, okay, what am I going to do? I know. I'll learn photography. And I started learning photography, but I was by myself. And then I was like, okay, what else can I do? I know. I'll play with remote control helicopters. But I was still by myself. And that's all I did. And then I got bored, and I was like mad. I'm like, this isn't fun. I'm by myself.
Right.
So that's when I started – you know, really seriously, taking seriously, trying to help other people do the same thing because people, we will grab, as humans, we'll grab any excuse. We'll grab the easiest ones and the ones that our friends will validate first. And especially when it comes to real estate and our business, we'll quickly go, I don't have the money, I don't have the credit. Well, I didn't have the money, I didn't have the credit, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't eat, I didn't have a place to stay. I mean, I can add a whole bunch of what I didn't have, and we fail to focus on what we do have.
Well said. And I preach that all the time. You don't want to look at the negatives. Yes, you have to identify them, but then you have to figure out how to go around them, how to change them into a positive, or how to blow them up and get them out of your way.
I like to blow them up.
Yeah, I do it all the time. I'm a big blower-upper. It's like, get out of the way.
Totally.
I don't tolerate it well.
Mm-mm.
So when you say that you were alone on this, I mean, does this mean, and I'm curious, because, you know, you had made a good bit of money, you were very successful, you had proven to your own brain, your own mind, your own psyche that everything that you knew before was not necessarily true and you could do these amazing, astonishing things. But then, you know, you just kind of ratcheted back and said, okay, I'm comfortable, now I'm going to play with helicopters and I'm going to do this. Why do you say you were alone? I'm curious about that.
Because one of the benefits of developing cash flow, which is why Cash Flow Diary is the name, one of the benefits of developing it is so that you don't have to work and you have free time. The challenge is as a lender, as a landlord, you end up in this situation where you have a lot of free time if you have a lot of units and you can wake up when you want to and go where you want to and but all the people you grew up with who are especially in your age bracket who you'd like to hang out with they're at work.
Right. Okay, I gotcha. Okay. I was wondering why you were isolated all of a sudden and it worried me. I was going to give you some advice. But I know what you're talking about because when you move out of your peer group in terms of, you know, economic changes, you're right. I mean, all of a sudden they're busy doing something different and you're over here going, what can I blow up now? So, yeah, I get it. Okay.
Exactly. So that led to what happened. I mean, one of my daughters had a field trip to a fire station, and I wanted to go, and I went, and I tried to take, I just was going to take photos with my mobile phone, and at the time, it didn't work. The shutter wasn't too fast. All my pictures came back blurry, and I got mad, and then I was like, okay, it's time for a real camera. Little did I know how much I'd end up going down down the rabbit hole of photography,
right.
But I enjoy it now. It's become a creative release. A lot of the photos on the websites and, you know, when we go internationally or wherever are photos that I've taken. In my spare time, quote unquote, I freelance for the local newspaper.
Nice.
I mean, and it's fun because I tend to photograph sports stuff and it's fun.
It's kind of added value for you because now you don't have to pay anybody to do that work.
Oh, man, I can't even tell you how much we save as a company because
we
don't
imagine.
Have to do...
Yeah,
good point.
Believe me,
good
I can
point.
Imagine.
Good point. So we promise, and that's why we produce videos first. To be honest, it's cheaper for me to produce a video of training than it is just about anything else, simply because of the fact that we own the equipment. I have this other hobby interest anyway, and it's been an interesting journey to be able to help people through video and the web and podcasting
right.
and all this other stuff that we get to do.
Well, and I love that you took what you know and you're now putting it in education and you're helping people learn, you know, shorten their learning curve. And I think that's brilliant because, I mean, you've been there, you've done it, you've got the, you know, charred feet to show it from walking on coals. And now you can say, okay, I've done this. Here's the proof. Here's the social proof. Here's everything else. I can help you with that learning curve. Come along. Yeah, it's a great ride. So I love that. I'm doing largely the same thing with the virtual assistants industry. I'm moving more from doing I have a great team and I do a lot of the work and I enjoy it, but it's time for me to start educating. You know, there just comes a time where you have to share your knowledge.
Well, and that's the thing. It wasn't part of my original strategy to create, a website. And in fact, you can tell I'm not overly original because the web to learn is learn investing now. That's it. I was just thinking, okay, learn investing now. That sounds good. Go for that because that's what you're going to go
good.
Do.
And you know what? It's perfect for the search engines. You know that now, right? It is
I know now.
Perfect for the search engines. So that was a happy accident for you.
None of it was like super, I didn't go to the, 12-week course, all this stuff that exists and I now know about it. I was just trying to, learn investing now because that's what you need to do. You need to learn it and now. So it all happens and develops very organically. In fact, it was a gentleman approached me. That's what happened. He, at a networking event, and he just goes, can you teach me everything you know? And I'm like, sure, but that's going to cost you a lot of money. And I said that thinking he would go away.
Right.
But he did.
I've done that too. Sure, I'll teach you everything I know, but here's what it's going to cost you. And when you don't see the wince or hear a gasp, you're like, oh, crud, now what have I done? But
exactly.
Sometimes it's the best thing that could happen to you.
Correct. And, and it's been fun. I enjoy now getting the emails and the stories and hearing from people when they move at what I call move at the speed of instruction and they work in the time space that I call now o'clock. When they do those two things well, they have the ability to go out there and generate results faster than they can think. And most of the time, it's the only thing in the way is us. And it sounds cliche, but it's so true. I find this all the time And one of the greatest things that I find, and I'm sure this is why your business does so well, is that entrepreneurs have a hard time letting go, hard time developing a team and thinking that somebody else can actually do what it is that needs to be done because it's our baby. But
been there, done it.
Learning that has become I think it's my greatest strength. Isn't me, it's the fact that my CFO, my VP of operations, my construction manager, my property managers across all states, the investors are even a part of it. I think that the strength is understanding that wealth is a team sport and how to build and manage and direct that team so that everybody can win at the end of the day.
That is so brilliantly put, and thank you for sharing that because, look, when I first started out, I had exactly those same issues. You know, I have a computer science degree. I'm always the smartest person in the room, largely because I'm alone all of the time. And I was constantly standing in my own way. It's like, oh, I can do this myself. And I can. And to some degree, I still struggle with that. It's like, okay, you know, and I have a fantastic team. But sometimes it's just quicker and easier for me to jump in, do it myself, than it is to formulate the email. And when it's all done, then I smack my hand because it, you know, I shouldn't have done that work. It was below my pay grade. I have now taken away work from a member of my team. There's so many reasons. But I did that in the very beginning, and I found, Jay, did you find this? It's very isolating when you do that, when you have that mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. I didn't like that because you could sit in your office at home or wherever, or Starbucks, it becomes my favorite place. and you can change the world from your laptop or cell phone or iPad, depending on your preference, and you've got no one to celebrate with. No one knows the struggle. No one knows the joy. You're just, I did it. And everyone's looking at you like you're funny. You're like, oh, never mind. Let me go back.
Yeah, I dance with the cat. Hyphen. My poor cat's like, put me down.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, you have to be able to do, that team approach is so important if you're going to grow your business, whatever your business is. You cannot do it all on your own. It's just ridiculous to think that you can. Unfortunately, almost all of us start out that way. I can do it. I'll just work harder. I'll get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I won't go to bed until 11 o'clock at night. And pretty soon, been there, done it. I know these numbers because I've done it. And I'm a high-functioning workaholic. I think most of us are, but there comes a point where you have got to let some of it go and trust in the people that you have put in place. And that's difficult. It's a mindset.
You are so correct. I mean, or the opposite of that is make the choice to stay small, which there's nothing wrong with that. There could be nothing wrong with the size that you're at. No one says that you have to grow your revenue by 50% year over year for 15 years straight to actually be successful. If where you are is good enough, then great. And if it's all you want to accomplish, fine. However, don't run that treadmill or insanity, right? You know, you're trying to grow bigger, but it's limited to you. And here's probably the biggest thing. In that situation, you're the single point of failure. If you go down, it all goes down.
That's right. And you can't sell your business either. You don't have a saleable business.
Nothing. You don't have.
Which I think a lot
sellable,
of people
it's
overlook.
Not investable.
Right.
Yes. It's not sellable or investable. And oftentimes, we as entrepreneurs, we develop a John Wayne mentality. I can do it, like you said. Mm-hmm. And what helped me with that was, okay, so here's a very practical tip. And I started a number of years ago, and I just simply made an arbitrary number. And I said, if it doesn't earn at least $500 an hour, I don't do it. What that means is I personally don't do whatever that activity is if it didn't create at least $500 an hour worth of revenue for the company. So that suddenly cleared my calendar.
Well, it's below your pay grade. Got it.
And I didn't do it. Now, at the same time, the invert, because here's what happens is that entrepreneurs say I can't afford to hire people. Well, if you did only that which created $500 of value every hour, do you think you could shave off 20, 30, or 40 for a good, not just any virtual assistant, but a good one?
One's going to run you $95 an hour. Yeah, I mean, a really good one, an OBM. Oh, no, well, a virtual assistant, you're in the ballpark. For an OBM, which is an online business manager, you're looking $85 to $110 an hour, and we are well worth it. I mean, well worth it.
I agree. I am 100% in agreement with you because one of the things people ask me all the time is, how can you pay your people so much? And I'm like, you don't understand. If you get good people, they don't cost you money, period. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you pay them. Everybody must carry their own.
They're making you money. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's been years to develop and grow and be comfortable with the situation, you know, to a degree. But I have fun because on the team, everybody does only that which they do best. And I get to do what I do best, which I've learned is not my books. It's not my paperwork. Those things are not my best friends.
Yeah.
So
right.
I do my best to stay away from those things and find people who actually enjoy that stuff.
Exactly. And I think that's such an important point for, you know, brick and mortar business owners can learn from this too. You don't, look, if you are bringing in, let's just say you've got a little dry cleaning shop and you're, you know, you're doing a lot of the work in the back, but you're not running the front counter and you're not doing a lot of the other things. You hire people to do that. You hire somebody to clean the bathroom. Do you really want to be cleaning the bathroom? I mean, when you can be making money doing something else, like, you know, I don't know, I'm just using as dry cleaner, but, you know, maybe tailoring a suit where you can make $200 instead of spending half an hour doing nothing but cleaning the toilet. Come on. I mean, you have to pick your battles.
Indeed. And your battle should be in, and there's a concept that I teach, it's called pay time. What that simply means is that when you cross the line from employee to anything else, be that self-employed, business owner, mm-hmm. or investor, you are no longer paid for your time as you were an employee. You are paid to produce a result, period.
Exactly.
And
that's exactly
the right. The only results you can produce are the ones that are – so which basically what that means is you're only paid for the time that you spend in front of or on the phone with a prospect or a customer. If you're not on the phone with or in front of a prospect or a customer, you're not getting paid as the entrepreneur, business owner, or et cetera. And you've got to find ways to keep your business in front of new prospects and customers all the time. And the
right.
greatest thing about the Internet and shows like yours is that people can go find your show in iTunes and, mm-hmm. and just and you're there. It's like pretty nifty, you know. I'm like, wow, this is cool.
It's magic. And not only that, Jay, but we are now leveraging, and I'm sure our audience hasn't thought of this, but we are now leveraging, I need more coffee, we're now leveraging each other's audiences. And it was
right.
effortless and painless, and we're having a good old time.
I love having a good time. And that's one of the things that people, that we as entrepreneurs fail to do. We fail to design our business in such a way that we have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And especially around tax time, entrepreneurs, for whatever reason, hate it. And I'm like, why are you still doing it? You know how much energy,
yeah.
how much of your own, let's say, negative energy it takes for you to struggle through that. That's struggle energy. If you would outsource and outsource that task, that responsibility, you could
mm-hmm.
only then worry and put your, you know, positive and creative energy into something. So,
right.
I am learning deeper and deeper levels of this. And the greatest thing is that as I teach this to students and as I work with investors, they begin to see how we can grow, we can move quickly, and do things that other companies can't do, A, because we're small, but most importantly, we can also we can just leverage each other's strengths and only do that which
mm-hmm.
we do best. I mean, like last year, in a I think it was a 60, maybe it was a 90-day period, we bought a 182-unit complex and we bought an 18,000-square-foot commercial building. It was like boom, boom,
wow.
real fast. And it takes a mountain of effort to do all that due diligence and paperwork and everything related
mm-hmm.
to that.
Mm-hmm.
But because everybody only does that which they do best, we can move quickly like that. We can do things like that.
So you've managed to make a system out of it, and you know who's doing what, who's responsible for what, and there's no overlap.
Correct. There's some overlap, but not grossly.
But there's no underperforming.
No, there's
nobody that just falls through the cracks, or a process or system that falls
right.
through the cracks because you know who has what strength and they're doing that particular task.
Exactly. And only
Perfect.
That task, because we don't want
right,
them struggling
right.
at something they don't like
no.
doing.
Exactly. Okay, that makes perfect sense to me, but I handle a team too. So, you know, there are people who can do everything. Should they do it? No. I'm one of those people. You're one of those people. We can do it all. Should we? Oh, my God, no. And for me, and it sounds like for you, it was a lesson for me. I mean, I literally worked myself into a corner. I mean, I was so exhausted.
Yeah.
It's like, really? Is this what you want to do? But getting a job is not going to happen, Jay. I run with scissors. and I have no filters. Yeah. I tend to say what's on my mind, which is not good in an office setting. So, and I just don't want to work for other people. And I've always been an entrepreneur since I was a very young child, practically. But there does come a point where you have got to learn systems and learn other people's strengths and let other people in so you're not killing yourself on a daily basis. And that's tough to do.
Yeah.
Very
well,
tough.
And my lesson in this didn't come so lightly. I mean, you know, about 2 years ago, what happened, and this is why I stress single points of failure. And so learn from my mistake. Remember, I paid full price for this mistake. You're about to pick it up at a severe discount, all right?
Oh, cool. Free, huh?
So,
I love free.
So, yeah. Long story short, what I did is I had a single point of failure in the business with one particular individual who's the property manager as well as construction manager. And to make a very, very long story short, he managed to skillfully part ways with well over $800,000. That was a problem. That got my attention, and that hurt. And I'm just like, how on earth? I mean, you want to talk about? I mean, and that has spawned so many lessons because so many people go, well, what if this happens and what if this happens? I can now say, well, yeah, that's happened, this happened, that's happened, and this has happened. The point is, we're still here, and that's the key. Is that sometimes you do need to make your own lessons, but please pick mine up as a discount. Don't create any single points of failure in your business. Always be looking for what those single points of failures are so that you can find a person to fill in with minimal downtime. Always, always, always be looking for that, because if you can remove those single points of failure, your business will flourish. And then do exactly like Jim Rohn says, build the people, then the people will build the business. And
love Jim Rohn.
I'm glad
you referenced him.
Yes. Yeah, we don't have the market cornered on wisdom. I'm just walking on the foundation of the greats that come before me and grateful that the foundation has been laid. We're walking on the foundation of like Steve Jobs, right? You know, because he created what he created. We now have immediate access to information. Your listeners get immediate access to quality information anytime they want to around the world. It's like, yeah, awesome.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly right. I mean, there's so much free information out on the internet. Honestly, we're being bombarded with information. The trick is to choose the information that's best going to enhance your business or enhance your education right then, right there. There's an awful lot to sift through, but I think if you figure out where it is that you're going, I'm a big one in believing that you cannot hit a target you can't see. So I am constantly dreaming my life. I'm always daydreaming my life, where I'm going to be, what I'm going to do, how it's going to feel. I'm living it kind of in advance. And, there are surprises. Surprises are good. Good ones are bad ones. But I pretty much know my target. I'm hitting my target every day. But you've got to figure out what it is that you want to learn and then learn it really well. Do you have any advice for that?
Yeah, well, it's like you're getting into, I think it's chapter 2 or 3 in Thinking Grow Rich, where he begins to talk about specialized knowledge.
You guess what book I have on my desk? Seriously, I've got a cat sleeping on it. There's a cat bed on it right now.
That's my point. So there's another hint. Success leaves clues, and leaders are readers, period.
Mm-hmm.
So
leaders are readers, absolutely.
What it comes down to is, you know, yeah, you should learn, okay, as the CEO of your business, and start thinking that way. As the CEO of your business, you have to speak multiple languages. You have to speak accounting. You have to speak attorney. You have to speak, in my world, you have to speak property manager. You have to speak investor. You have to speak banker. Now, they could all be talking about the same thing, but they're using a different language. That doesn't mean I have to be the banker. That doesn't mean I have to be all those other pieces of the puzzle, kind of like Michael Gerber says, right? So what it comes down to is learning what your piece is the best. And as I said at the beginning, my suggestion is that you make your piece sales because it is the most expensive piece to try to outsource or leverage. Make your piece sales, make your piece the vision of the company, and then focus on leadership and personal development like nobody's business, and then you'll be able to attract all the other pieces that you need. At the end of the day, that's kind of what I do.
And I love that you say you have to speak these different languages, and I encounter that all day, every day. You have to be able to speak to the different people on your teams. You have to be able to speak your client's language and get into their head and figure out what's going on. Doesn't mean I'm going to build every single website or every part of every website or set up every teleseminar, but I need to be able to take what my client has given me as their goal and then speak the language to everyone on my team and tell them, okay, this is what has to happen here. And it can't be my language. It has to be the language that they understand.
Exactly. In fact,
perfect point. I'm glad you made that.
On the Cashflow Diary Daily podcast, I think it was either yesterday or the day before, the title of that episode is You're Looking for Problems, Not Properties, because people always ask me, Jay, how do you find properties? How do you find properties? And I'm like, you're looking for the wrong thing. What you should be focused on are problems, because that's what a real estate entrepreneur solves, problems related to real estate. And you're looking for problems. Entrepreneurs solve problems. So you've got to go look for problems, and from the problem, you can craft a solution. And if the person owns real estate, then boom, you can use the real estate to solve the problem. But in order to do that, you have to learn to speak the client's language. As you said, you got to learn to speak the seller's language and understand what their problem is. They get that you're in business. They get that you have the potential to earn some money with that piece of property. But what they really want to know is, can you help me with my problem?
And when
you learn to speak their language and understand that, and that's the skill set.
Yeah, it's a soft skill, isn't it?
But it's fun.
I know. You know, when I first started out, several times during my life, I have been accused of, I thought, of being a natural salesperson. And honestly, I'd rather be hit by a beer truck than be called a salesperson. And you know why. It's just, salespeople get a bad rap. And, back when I was working in corporate, I was always being approached. We want you on our insurance team. We want you to come. It's like, oh, my God, no. No. And everybody I knew was trying to talk me into insurance. Like, you hit me with that beer truck and smash me flat. Make sure I don't get back up. But as it turns out, I am a natural salesperson, because when I'm speaking to clients, potential clients, or even people that I'm mentoring, they have got to know. They've got to understand what I'm telling them. I've got to understand what they're telling me, and then I have to make a word picture to put it all together. And that's sales.
Agreed. And at the end of the day, I've learned to believe that sales equals service. Period.
Right. And I agree
with
you.
I can't serve you if I don't sell you something.
Right.
And I want to serve you because I'm excited about what my product and my service. I mean, for example, when people, one of my investors, what they often do is they'll take their retirement plan. Because most people don't know that you can take your 401ks, IRAs, these types of things, and we can then self-direct them, a true self-direction, and we work with a number of custodians across the U.S. to do this, and then we'll go buy a commercial strip center, we'll go buy an apartment complex. The reason this is important is because we've been sold what I call, it's a great lie in my opinion, we've been sold the lie that we have to have a pile of cash in order to retire. But in what's true is that we need a stream of cash. We don't need a pile. Having a stack of $2, $3, $4, $15 million doesn't mean you're retired, because you can spend that. You're retired is,
or it can be taken away from you in one way or another.
Indeed, like $800,000 at a time. I have a personal experience in that one. Anyway,
or the IRS, or regulations. Yeah. God knows what's going to happen to it.
What we need is a stream of cash. And most people, if they had a skill set that could produce, and I'm just going to make up a number and call it $10,000 on a monthly basis. If they did something that produced $10,000 on a monthly basis, then now they no longer had to work. But they were forced to spend $10,000 every month, but know that another $10,000 was coming. Most people can figure out a way to make that work. Most people can.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, your bank account is zero every month, and which is the point. The point is it doesn't matter the money in the bank or the money in the 401k. What matters is do you now have the skill set to develop a stream of income? And since 1974, when ERISA came into play, whereby the responsibility for quote-unquote retirement shifted from the employer to the employee, we now immediately had to become more financially intelligent. And rightly or wrongly, this isn't being taught where it needs to be taught, and that's where my business steps in, is to help, try to bridge that gap through education in terms of awareness, as well as teaching other people how to do it if they want to learn to do it, or we do it for them. And that's what it comes down to, because, I think entrepreneurs are there to solve problems, and I think that's a really, really, really big problem. It's going to take a lot of us to solve it.
Agreed. And, the way the economy is right now and all of these regulations coming out of Washington and even at the state level, from my perspective, there's a low-level sense of dread pretty much hanging over the country. I don't think that – I'll be honest with you. I don't buy into it. I mean, I know it's out there. I know that there are a lot of things going on that people just flat don't like. But I'm a firm believer in you make your own economy. You don't dabble in everybody else's economy.
To that point, what we've done is we set up a situation. Here's the fun thing, especially with real estate. Real estate's everywhere. People are everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs a place to live, work, play, or lay, and that's across the world. And there are multiple ways to skin this cat in terms of real estate. So we can play both sides of the fence, and honestly, we and our investors are in a position to where if it goes down, fine. If it goes up, fine. We're just ready. It doesn't really matter. We're just in the position regardless. And that was also part of the reason we started expanding internationally, because we didn't want to tie all of our business assets to one country's economy. So now we have a second, and we now have a second way to make all these things happen. It's just reaction and understanding how to interpret what is actually in the headlines. And it's not so much, ooh, I'm afraid. And that's the other thing, is to always realize that the headlines are designed so that you come back. You're afraid, so you'll need the next update to know what's going on.
Well, they're never positive, are they?
No.
I mean, I think they're designed that way. So you know what I do? I ignore them.
I agree. Agreed, 100. I call CNN constant negative news.
No kidding. Well, let's not get started on what I think of all of them. So,
Yeah.
Suffice
I know.
To say, it's not nice.
I understand.
So let me ask you this: when you say, and I get that, you're divesting yourself of having your eggs in one basket, the old farmer's kind of motto. How do you stay agile, though? I mean, you say that it's okay either way. How? I'm a little curious. Can you kind of flesh that out for me?
Yeah,
because
sure,
I know
no
you
problem.
Can stay agile, but how do you stay agile in this kind of a situation?
Well, a bet on real estate is a bet. By betting on a physical asset, be that in our case real estate, what you're betting on is that there will be more, specifically price inflation or more printing of money. Let's put it just clearly. You're betting that more money will be printed. If more money is printed, the good thing about having a physical asset is that I can adjust things like the price that I charge for rent. Now, by default, the American economy is known. I mean, renters know my rent's going to go up. Period. Mm-hmm. They just know that. But here's the real thing that I really love. Now, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but just imagine from a preparedness standpoint. If, for example, the U.S. dollar suddenly goes away, now how do you earn income? Well, how about I say you can stay, because does the sheep farmer still need a place to stay? The answer is yes. Does the CPA need a place to stay? The answer is yes. Do they have valuable services that I would likely still need? Again, the answer is yes. The tailor needs a place to stay? Yes. And now you have a place to stay in exchange for providing me the service that I need, and I may not need you. You know, you may raise 50 sheep, and I ask for two. I don't, mm-hmm. and I only may need one. So now I've got extra sheep myself. So
right.
you have many different ways to play that game. On the flip side of that, we have a number of mortgages. Say, you know, deflation happens. Great, no problem. Well, by having and controlling mortgages on real estate, you can also then make sure that your income is stabilized. You can make sure your income is stabilized in either a deflationary or inflationary economy, so long as you're working, and so long as you understand how to do it and working with people that do. And that's, mm-hmm. that's the whole point. And then all you got to do is duplicate that in a number of different economies, either across states or across countries' borders, and you can feel reasonably safe. And I just think about, you know, individuals like Ben Franklin. I think at one time he himself stated that he had approximately 6 different bank accounts at 6 different countries because he didn't know what was going to happen. And he
wow.
wanted to make sure that
nothing changes,
if something happened, he was fine.
I know, right?
What is that?
I mean, if people understood history, I think they'd be a lot calmer. I really do.
That's pretty funny right there. A lot calmer. I like that.
I mean, look at your history, for crying out loud. But and that's brilliant, and he was right. So basically, well, let me go off on another tack. I honestly, when I told you at the top of the hour I've got a ton of questions, I wasn't kidding. And we keep getting off on these tangents, and they're fascinating. Really, I would love for you to come back to the show one day soon, if you don't mind.
No, not at all, not at all. I thought we were – so we haven't even actually – what you're saying is we haven't actually got to the questions you wanted.
Nope. I got one or two.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take you off topic. I get excited about – I love –
Well, this is the way it goes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you'll say something. I'm like, I know you can't see it, but I've got my hand in the air going, hang on, I've got a question. call on me. So one of the things that I've heard you say, though, and I've heard it in your podcast, is that – and we're going to go back a little bit to what we were talking about earlier, that failing is not such a bad thing. In fact, I've heard you say to fail often and that you've made mistakes along the way, and I think we kind of covered that. Is there anything else that you would like to add to that? Because failing is a mindset. I know that it's an actual happening, but isn't it as much a mindset on how you deal with it?
Yeah, well, oftentimes when we experience failure, notice the change in language, when we experience
mm-hmm.
failure, we make the miscalculation and say we are a failure. No, you've
right.
had a failure event. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You had a failure event. Now,
like
worst case scenario, even if you failed at something one time, you now have the ability, worst case scenario, you have the ability to write an ebook and tell people, avoid this one thing like I did, and people will download that ebook because they'll want to avoid the one thing that you did that did not go well.
Mm-hmm.
And you can begin a business just from that one failure event. Because
right.
failure leads to experience, and with experience, then you can make better decisions. But most people aren't willing to go get it. They want to make the best decision first, and that's, again, now you're going to get me started on our school systems, because we're trained to not make mistakes. We're trained the best way to
right.
go, get that A, get them all right, get it right the first time, and you better not talk to anybody to try to get help so that you can get it right. Because if you do, that's cheating. You got to get it right all on your own, otherwise you fail.
Mm-hmm. Were you a lousy student, Jay? Were you a poor student?
Was that?
Were you
by
a poor student?
By the time I got
student?
The yeah, yeah. By the
I was
time
a
I got
lousy
college,
student.
I should. That's
lousy.
What I meant by I should have never went to college. Should have never went to college. I don't even know why I went. I went, but yeah, that was college. Total college dropout. I showed up to basketball class. I did go there. I did do that one.
I went to woodworking. I was a horrible student. I did. I built a little trunk. I still have it. I was a horrible student. And the thing is that I was reading at 3 years old. I taught
right.
myself to read. I'm a voracious reader. I have over 3,000 books on my Kindle. I've got close to that in physical books throughout my house and my garage. I've got books everywhere. I was reading at 3. Nobody told me I couldn't, so I did it. I was a
right.
terrible student. I was bored. I hated it. But then when I got to college later in life, I was like, okay, I'm paying big money for this. I'm going to learn something this time. But I don't know that schools are the best place to put our children, I guess, is my point.
Well, it depends on what you call school at the end of the day. Because I'm going to say that you're actually an excellent student because you've learned.
Well, I am now, but I wasn't then.
Yes. Yeah, well you've learned to unlearn and relearn.
Right. According to their guidelines, I was a lousy student. And me and the vice principal were good pals. He saw an awful lot of me. An awful lot.
First name basis type of thing. Got it. I
totally
understood.
Him and my mom.
Totally.
You know, yes. My mom would say, please, can we go a week without me being called? I'll try. I'll try.
I don't know, Mom, maybe.
Yeah,
but you don't understand my pain.
I can't promise. I know. It was horrible. I hated school.
I hear you. The thing, the difference is instead of school, it's education that we need. And
right.
Education, the process of education has been delivered through the mechanism that we call school. But what's really more true is that we learn really well from our experiences. And most importantly, I wish we could get our entire economy to go back to the standard of apprenticeship, because that's when people really, really learned. You know, you got to work under a master in a certain area for a long, long time, and then you went off and did your own thing and developed new techniques and new ways of getting things done. When I say the United States grew very, very fast during that period, simply because by the time you were 17, you had worked with dad and mom long enough that you could either run your own business and you knew how to make things work, and you could bring your new ideas to the table. Instead, today, between high school and college, I'm going to be so bold as to say we rob our kids of approximately 8 years of the time where they can, quote, unquote, afford to earn the least amount of money, but they can dedicate themselves to true education, i.e. drawing things out of their experience that they can then go craft and create products or services to make the world better.
Right.
And we delay that process for a number of years, telling them to go to school, get good grades, get a job, when we never tell them, hey, by the way, you probably won't like your job, your boss, or the people you work with, and definitely won't like the commute if you live in Southern California, but have fun.
Right. Knock yourself out. And by the way, get your own checkbook. A lot of
all
parents don't do that anymore. But, you know, you're right, and I agree wholeheartedly. In fact, Benjamin Franklin was an apprentice. I can't remember who to, but he was. Most of our founding fathers apprenticed to somebody or several somebodies when they were younger. It's just the way it was.
Exactly.
And I love that idea. The thing is that our experiences, if we're paying attention to them and we're really, really learning from them, I think it can shorten our learning curve. Yeah, there's some pain and there's some teeth gnashing, and I don't know about you, every once in a while I mentally bang my head against the wall. I mean, I'm not actually doing it, but I get a little, you know, concussion from doing it. But you can only do that for so long, and then you say, okay, your pity party is over. Pull up your panties like a big girl and go do something about this. Examine the evidence. Right. Now change the outcome.
Exactly.
And I think people really need to focus on that.
Exactly. I mean, there was a time – it was, I don't know, maybe a year ago, and actually a few months ago, I was on Robert Kiyosaki's radio station, and one of the things he asked me was, you know, having all that go on, how did I deal with it? How did I find a way out of it? And I just told him, I was like, look, I was told to focus on what I wanted to have happen, not on what had happened.
Right.
And that's the whole thing. Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of bad stuff going on. Everybody's got a lot of bad stuff going on. It's all relative. I don't make light of that, but I'm going to call all of that, so what? Now what are you going to do?
Exactly.
And, you know, that is the very springboard, in my opinion, that's the very springboard you've been given to make your platform so that other people can have a shot and have hope and feel like there's a possibility for me. My story isn't over, and that's the main thing that I try to communicate every time I get the opportunity to speak in front of people or what have you, is to let them know their story's not over. I don't care how bad it is at this moment. Your story isn't over yet. If you can hear my voice, your story isn't over. It's just a new chapter, and you got to turn the page and all that other stuff.
And you can do this second by second. I mean, literally, you can do it second by second if you're paying attention.
You have to do it second by second because I don't know any. I mean, because we can fall into those old habits very, very, very quickly.
Right.
And that was the impetus behind being. I'm sitting here thinking, okay, maybe I can teach people some stuff. And I was, again, that's why I still laugh at myself when I, you know, learninvestingnow.com. That somehow, it's funny to me, but it makes so much sense because you need to learn and you need to learn now, whatever
it's
it
is. It's actually brilliant. Yeah, it was a moment of brilliance and you didn't even know it.
Not even close. But the point is now, if you learn now, it's better than learning tomorrow. And getting started now is what most of us do, and we only have now.
Well, and that kind of goes back to something that you said earlier that, and I'm going to have to paraphrase because you've said so much, and my brain is on fire. You can probably hear it going, zzz, zzz. But if you can't trust me, it's sizzling. But one of the things that I always notice with people is it's analysis paralysis. They want to wait till it's perfect, till everything's in a row. And I'm constantly telling people, in this day and age, with the internet being as agile as it is, you cannot wait for it to be perfect. You cannot wait to lay everything out and then stand back and look at your whiteboard and go, got it, because people have already had the same thought and they are stomping all over you. Just do it. Learn now. Learn daily. Learn at night. Learn however you learn, but learn something new every single day. Look, Jay, I cannot go to sleep at night. I literally cannot go to sleep at night until I have examined my day, because I do tend to go, okay, ooh, I missed that one. Darn it. But the most important thing, the last thought before I go to sleep is, what did I learn today? How am I 1% better than I was yesterday? And if I can't identify that something that I learned or something that I honed, guess what happens? Out of bed, into the office. Go fix that.
Totally understood. There's an exercise that I teach my private coaching clients to do. And I ask them to do this as frequently as they possibly can. Daily is preferred, especially when you're beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just to answer this question. 5 reasons I was successful today are, period.
Perfect. Yeah.
And when you do that, It serves two purposes. One, it reminds you to stay focused and on task every day.
Mm-hmm.
But when you don't have such positive days, you can always go back to that journal and look at it. Ah, yes, I am successful, and here's why. In my own handwriting, these are the things. It also helps you stay balanced because eventually, for those of us that are married, we like to stay that way. So being successful also means, hey, I took the time to take my wife somewhere, took the time to hang out with the kids. Fortunately for me, my kids love to watch me fly the remote control helicopters.
I bet.
So it's just a lot of fun. You know, things get mixed on them. I got cameras on them now, and we can create all kinds of marketing videos. It's been, you know, it's just a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
I bet.
That you get to have.
Until you skip one on water, that can't be fun.
Well,
no, you skip rocks on water, and they go bounce, 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 crash.
Yeah, I've lost 4 helicopters. But that's okay.
Ooh, sorry about that. I'm sorry for your loss.
right.
Well, and I interrupted you. What are the rest of the reasons why these five things are so important?
Well, it serves as a reminder and it keeps you accountable. You know, if you can look back in a written journal and say, ooh, I haven't been doing this, that's probably why I don't feel like I've made a lot of progress.
Right.
Because when you know that you've got to come up with 5 things every day, it may sound like, oh, I can do that, but there will be some days where you're at 3 and you're like, dude, I got to go do something. I got to do 2 more things that make me feel successful, make me feel proud, make me feel like I'm making progress.
Right.
You know, and there have been days like that, which is good. It's a very, very – it's a unique accountability tool that I like.
Mm-hmm. Now, you say journal. Do you ask your you know, coaching prospects or your coaching people in your programs, do you ask them to keep a journal?
I would prefer they do.
Right.
But sometimes they just want to write on our forms inside the website, which is fine. So long as they're doing some sort of activity to examine the day, as you said. So
okay.
that really what I'm after.
Well, it makes sense, and I'll tell you, I keep a digital journal. I can't write quick enough to keep up with my brain. Nobody can.
Got that right.
Right. If you can, you might want to get some brain exercise going on. but here's the thing. I keep a digital journal, and I downloaded this thing from davidrm.com several years ago. I want to say 5 or 6 years ago. It cost me $47, and that was it. That was my only cost. But it resides on my computer. It's not out there anywhere in a cloud. Nobody can access it but me. In fact, when my computer crashed last year, the one thing, and I'm a web developer, so you can imagine the stuff on my computer, and all I could do was plead with the people fixing it, get my journal off of there. Everything else I can recreate, but get my journal.
Right.
And they did. And the reason I like this particular journal format is because I don't have to go hunt for my notebooks or journal. I can write everything at the speed of sound. I type 100 words or more a minute. I can color code things. I can put videos. I can do a meta search. I can search by date or time or random thought or word.
Right.
And I'm able to go back years and go, oh, I never did anything with that. Is the time right now? Or, man, I'm glad I didn't. You know, what was I thinking? But it allows
right.
me to keep track of my brain, so to speak. So journaling, I think, however you want to do it, I think is critically important for entrepreneurs to kind of keep track.
Absolutely. I use Day One is probably the major app that I use for, you know, journal because it can sync across so many devices. And then I also use I don't know if you're familiar with the Live Scribe pen. I love both
yeah.
of those tools.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
pen is, oh, my God, it's the best thing ever. So it's a great communication.
Right.
What's that?
Now we're nerd talking. I love that.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so listen, I know we're out of time. The people in the chat room have lost us, but we're still streaming. We're still recording. And I do want to ask very quickly, and you're going to come back, and I'm grateful for that. You wrote a book recently, and I know it's supposed to be coming out now or soon. And
yes.
you say that it gives readers an absolute blueprint of the steps that you took to get to the success that you've achieved.
Right.
Where is it? Where can they find it? Tell us a little bit about it before we end the show.
No problem. It's cashflowcreationsystem.com, which is also the title, Cashflow Creation System. And because it's got the entire blueprint of first the thought processes, and I take you through the process of manifestation. You got to think it and feel it and believe it and understand it.
Dream it.
But then
all
that stuff. And then we go through the action steps required to make that happen. And as you get towards the back of the book, it gets more and more advanced to the point to where you get some of my most advanced deal structuring concepts on raising private capital and how to structure deals. I use examples all the way, you know, from single family houses up to, like I said, 182 unit buildings or commercial real estate. And at the end of the day, I just want people to see that this was done with ideas. It wasn't done because I had a big fat bankroll to start from. It was done with ideas and trying to provide value to the marketplace and then learning how to sell that value into the marketplace. And I go through step by step by step of showing you how to create that value in your own marketplace and then go out there and sell it. Because at the end of the day, I by myself cannot solve all these problems. And we need more and more real estate entrepreneurs, more entrepreneurs in general to go out there and solve the problems. And if you can adapt, take and here's the best part, in my opinion. The book, although, yes, it uses real estate as the example, it's done in such a way that if you want to build a business around, you know, technology, around, you know, developing iPhone apps, around even if you want it to produce a movie, all you got to do is submit substitute your movie, your project in for wherever I'm talking about real estate, and it's going to function the very same. Still got to do the same steps. And I break down all of those things because it just seems like it was a mystery to people. And it was a mystery to me. I didn't know, and I wasn't taught. And I do my best to try to squeeze everything that I can into one book and so that it makes sense and that people can take action. Kind of like this interview has been, I can only talk so long in theory, and then before I say, well, this is how you do it.
Right.
You got to move at the speed of instruction and go in the time frame known as now o'clock, because if I don't give you something to use, then you just, you know, you feel good at the end of the day, but your life is still the same. But now
it's,
you
it's all
you,
just
you
chat,
know,
right?
Exactly. I don't want that. I don't want that. But you've got the ability now to hear, and you know some specific things to do to keep yourself on the right track, to keep yourself accountable. And you can, like I said, the book is over at cashflowcreationsystem.com. And you know, it's been a project, that's for sure, but it's definitely clearly needed in the marketplace, because everywhere I go, people ask me, Jay, how do you do it? How do you do it? I have all this stuff going on, and it's overwhelming when people start finding you, which I love. I love being contacted, but there's only one of me and there's like millions of you. So it's like, I'm doing my best to try to get myself to more people. I was talking to one of the Rich Dad advisors, and that's what he advised me to do. He said, look, what you're going to have to do is figure out how to get you to more people, because you can't individually help each person. And some of those things have been the creation of the website, the learninvestingnow.com, the book, cashflowcreationsystem.com, and all the courses that I'm doing my best to create them as fast as I possibly can. Because, you know, right now people are always asking, how do you find the money? So we're doing live instruction. I'm going to be there for 12 weeks mentoring people on how to raise private capital. And it's just, I promise you, so I still got all this real estate stuff going on, and now I've got all these people, which I enjoy dealing with, and it's lots of fun. It's just, wow, you know, who knew?
How do you leverage all that?
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
Not only that, Jay, but I think it bears repeating that just a few short years ago you were broke, and I'm not sure if you took bankruptcy, but you lost and squatted in your house.
Yeah.
I mean, it bears repeating. Right.
Yeah. Squatting in bank owned property. I had no assets whatsoever. Credit score was a 398. I could barely walk and talk. I was born with asthma. That meant if I tried to walk and talk, I would faint. My wife was recovering from hyperemesis. She couldn't eat or drink. We didn't have to look at us. You wouldn't say, ooh, I'm riding that pony. That horse is going to make it. You would have never said that. But none of us know what's inside of us until we're put to the test. And I was put to the test.
Right.
And none of us know. And now I'm challenging people to put themselves to this test, because you can eat. You have a choice. You can willfully shed or be broken open. I was broken open. I'm saying before it gets worse, willfully shed the stuff that's getting in the way so that you can go into a situation to which that doesn't have to happen.
Is that difficult for people? Look, I've been there. You know, I know what you're talking about. I've had good times. I've had bad times. Bad times suck. But you can, to put it clearly, you can curl up in a ball and suck your thumb, or you can say, this is not what I signed on for. What has to happen here?
Both. You have to curl up. First of all, there's a point where it's okay to curl up for a minute. That's fine.
Yeah, it's like yourself. Right.
But at some point, you got to unfold from the fetal position and go, okay, this happened. Own it. Take responsibility. Find the areas, and here's the key word. Don't start looking for people to blame. Look for what you did that you can improve. And go from there, because when you begin to take the responsibility of realizing how that happened, like, for example, when that guy was able to embezzle and take money from us, like the $800,000, I had to get to the point of going, you know what, I allowed that to happen. It was my lack of attention to detail. It was my lack of this, my lack of this. And that's when I started revamping the systems, because there were single points of failure that allowed that to happen. And now those single points of failure are completely eradicated. And we're better for it. But, you know, those are the things that, you know, that has to happen. And I sucked my thumb for a long time at $300,000. You don't let that go lightly. That is not fun.
No. I mean, I'm wincing every time you say it. I just kind of wince for you. But there's some valuable lessons there for you. So that's the good thing. But, you know, we always hear all of our life about the, you know, the silver cloud and, I mean, the cloud, the silver lining in the cloud. It's true. These old, you know, sayings that are passed down from generation to generation from our grandmothers, they're there for a reason. Pay attention to them.
Right. Agreed. So, 100%.
Well, I know, and we are completely out of time, and thank you so much. I mean, I'm looking at my list of questions going, what happened? But this has been a fascinating conversation, and I have really enjoyed having you as a guest. You've got to come back.
Absolutely.
No pressure, but
no
you've
problem.
Got to come back. So
I feel no pressure. I do it joyfully.
Good. Good, good, good. Well, listen, tell people one more time where they can find you, where they can find your book, where they can find you on, you know, social media, and then we'll sign off.
Got it. The book is cashflowcreationsystem.com. The learning, if you're ready to learn, it's learninvestingnow.com. Very, very original. Mm-hmm. And then we have two podcasts in iTunes. One is Cashflow Diary Daily. It's about 2 to 5 minutes. So if you just want little quick snippets to focus on each day of how to build business, it's snippets from some live events. It's snippets from recordings and conversations that I've had with clients. It's all of those things. That's the Cashflow Diary Daily podcast. And then we have the long form, which is 20 to 40 minutes of actual instruction, sometimes a little longer if we get very, very excited, on literally techniques of how to go out there and do real estate. And that's just the Cashflow Diary podcast. Both of those are in iTunes.
Nice. Jay, thank you so much for being with me here today. It has been amazing, and I've been fascinated by you and your story. You gave our audience a glimpse into your life and your systems, and I know they appreciate it as much as I do.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, anytime. Listen, the show will be available for download in about an hour, and you can also find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Jay Massey. It's Jay, period, Massey. And I will see you next week. Jay, thank you.
You're welcome.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.